Well, if the Great Lakes put up most unwanted posters, they'd be plastered with pictures of Asian carp, zebra and quagga mussels, and sea lamprey. But there are plenty of lesser-known threats as well, including ones that can only be seen under a microscope. Scientists are increasingly paying attention to invasive viruses making their way into the ecosystem. Dr. Joan Rose is the co-director of MSU's Center for Water Research, and her latest research focuses on the Great Lakes' smallest invaders. Joan, welcome back to Current State.
Thank you for having me.
How big of a problem are these invasive viruses in the Great Lakes?
Well, you know, viruses are biological nanoparticles. They're so small, we can only see them under the electron microscope.
To be sure.
And they're the most dominant life form on Earth. We think there's billions of viruses that have yet to be described, and they replicate only with a host. So they're very unique organisms, and then they need a host cell to replicate, and they invade these cells. What we're finding in ballast waters, with especially these new techniques that we have, these metagenomic techniques, is that we have thousands of viruses that we're probably bringing in to the Great Lakes or transporting from one location to another through ballast waters that we never knew about before.
And are you assessing how many of those are undesirable and as opposed to desirable here? Is that where we're at in this process?
Yeah, the metagenomics techniques, you've probably heard about them in the human genome study and the microbiome studies and these types of things. We're using these now for viruses. So the ballast water virome study is what we're calling it. And, you know, 60% we can't identify. We don't know what they are. But the others belong to viruses that, in fact, bacteria, they infect invertebrates like shrimp, they infect plants, algae, and of course humans. We find some viruses in these waters that affect humans and other animals, other mammals.
Is that 60% that we can't identify, though, is that are those by and large new? Are those recently introduced to the Great Lakes? Do we know?
We don't know. Our database is, it's sort of like not having a very good fingerprint database, you know, and you're trying to match things up. Our database for viruses is very poor. So as we use these new techniques, we don't know if these viruses have been around and we just don't have a good database yet, or if they're relatively new. We do know viruses evolve fairly rapidly because they, you know, we hear about these new viruses showing up all the time. So we really don't know yet, and that's an area for exploration.
Yeah. It must be, it sounds extremely difficult to try to monitor such small threats, microscopic threats, really, in such large bodies of water. Is that as big a challenge as it sounds?
It's a huge challenge. I mean, we started back in the 80s with filtration systems, and we filter very large volumes of water. Now we have new technologies that help us do it more efficiently, but we have to take up to 100 liters, like a trash barrel, you know, fill that up with water and filter that down to a very small volume so we can find these viruses. So it's very challenging to obtain the sample.
We're talking with Dr. Joan Rose, co-director of MSU's Center for Water Research, about a recent study looking at invasive viruses in the Great Lakes. We're accustomed to hearing species there, but we're talking about viruses. Have there been any invasive viruses that have already caused any kind of damage in the Great Lakes?
Yeah, the most famous is what's known as VHSV. It's the viral hemorrhagic septicemia virus.
Okay, yes, really I have heard of
name.
That one.
Yes, and of course, it has caused a lot of fish kills and has been spread through the Great Lakes. And so that is probably our most famous viral invader.
And when did you say viral invasive or invasive viruses started getting the attention of scientists? How long ago?
Well, I mean, we started looking at viruses in water, you know, back when poliovirus was around, because poliovirus was spread through, you know, contaminated water. And so those of us in this field called environmental virology began looking at mostly human viruses that were spread through waterborne disease. And we've been studying beaches and things like that in the Great Lakes. We found adenoviruses and other things associated with wastewater discharges. But this is the first time, I think, now that EPA has passed rulings on, you know, treating ballast water or exchanging ballast water. And, of course, the global community is going to start looking at what are we going to do about all our ports and our ships around the world. So because of these regulations, we've gained access to ballast water and have started to sample it.
Will those ballast water standards that have been passed, that lawmakers have created, will those have to be strengthened in order to contend with this situation?
Yeah, we believe that these policies will have to be changed to address viruses. They are looking at treating ballast water on the ship. And we have all kinds of new technology, water technology, that can probably kill viruses. But the question is, which viruses do we want to kill? Mm. And how much do we want to treat the water? So we've got to answer those questions.
Is there any technology that could be effective at wiping these viruses out before a ship enters the Great Lakes?
Yeah, I think there's some technology that uses new types of membranes, ozone, UV disinfection, that could actually destroy the viruses in the ballast water before you discharge it, or maybe even destroy the invaders as you pick up the water, you know, at your location, at the ship's location, where it has to pick up the ballast water or exchange it. So I think there's all kinds of new things happening in this arena.
Again, we're talking to Dr. Joan Rose, co-director of MSU's Center for Water Research, about a recent study looking at invasive viruses in the Great Lakes. We've already identified 180 invasive species. At least that was the number back in 2012. So it's pushing 200 or thereabouts.
That's right.
And many of those, like the zebra and the quagga mussels, have created stress on the ecosystem. Do you think that stress could make native species more vulnerable to some of these invasive viruses?
Yes, we believe so. The parvoviruses are one of the groups we found, and they impact mammals. And we already have seen parvoviruses causing, say, kills of seals and things like this when they're stressed. So if they're stressed from metal or other pollution and or just nutrients, they are more susceptible to these viruses. And so we do believe that that's the case, that these viruses take advantage of populations that are stressed.
A lot of communities around the region draw their drinking water from the Great Lakes. Do these invasive viruses pose any risk to human health right now?
Well, in under the Safe Drinking Water Act, we have addressed viruses already, and we have any treatment plant that uses surface water has to treat their water to reduce viruses, inactivate them. And so we have been, like I said, dealing with the human viruses for some time, and we've been particularly concerned with drinking water. And so we do have policies in place to treat drinking water so that we reduce viruses to a level that we deem safe, at least in the United States.
Are scientists elsewhere in the world keeping an eye on the viruses in water the way you describe?
Yes, I think that globally, from public health, they're starting to look at things like rotavirus, which is very widespread, and we've just produced a global map that's associated with these discharges. But also, I think on the ballast water side, the International Maritime Organization is starting to produce guidelines. And, you know, this is a global commerce issue. So if California, as one of the largest ports, which they're thinking right now about how are we going to control viruses, if they say we need to control viruses, they've got ships coming from all over the world. And so now the global community is going to say, oh, we want our ships to be able to land in California safely. Mm-hmm. We want them to be able to land in Singapore and Japan. So, yes, it's starting to reach the global discussion.
I'm really curious. We've just got a few seconds. Where in the Great Lakes do you conduct your research? Where do you go?
I mostly go to areas where people are exposed, you know, to recreational beaches, drinking water intakes, river systems that people, you know, use for fishing and swimming and recreating. That's mostly where I go.
Could be anywhere in the state, though.
Yeah,
is that
and
I
my backyard is the Great Lakes. I love going out there. It's beautiful. I know that everybody really wants to keep high water quality here, so hopefully some of the research we do helps in that endeavor.
We've been talking about the risk invasive viruses posed to the Great Lakes with Dr. Joan Rose, co-director of MSU Center for Water Research. Joan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.